Good morning. Welcome to the inaugural podcast of Coffee with Jim and Kim. Kim and I are both lawyers with the personal injury law firm of Burnett & Williams, and we decided to put together this series of podcasts to educate our clients, friends, family, etc., about the intricacies of personal injury law. So today's topic is one that Kim and I frequently have to address with clients, which is, what is my case worth? Well, we don't just pull a number out of the air. Either the lawyer who's representing you or the claims adjuster is not pulling the number out of the air. There's a way to figure that out. And what each side is doing is trying to predict what will a jury do, or judge for smaller cases, do with the case once they've heard the evidence from both the plaintiff and the defendant. The judge on either a bench trial, where it's just a judge, or a jury trial, is guided by Virginia law on damages. And there's a book that was put together decades ago called the Virginia Model Jury Instructions. They update it regularly. It's got professors on it, judges, prominent attorneys involved. But there's an instruction called General Personal Injury and Property Damage. And if you look through the instruction, there's eight elements. And this is what the jury is told. If you find your verdict for the plaintiff, then in determining the damages to which he is entitled, you shall consider any of the following, which you believe by the greater weight of the evidence was caused by the negligence of the defendant. So number one is any bodily injuries he sustained and their effect on his health according to their degree and probable duration. The second one is any physical pain and mental anguish he suffered in the past and any that he may be reasonably expected to suffer in the future. Any disfigurement or deformity and any associated humiliation or embarrassment he suffered in the past and any he may suffer in the future. Any inconvenience caused in the past and in the future. Any medical expenses occurred in the past and any that may be incurred in the future. Any earnings he lost because he was unable to work at his calling, and then any loss of earning capacity that he may reasonably be expected to sustain in the future. And the last element on here is property damage, but in Virginia, we can split causes of action, meaning you can have one lawsuit for your bodily injury claim and one lawsuit for your property damage. So generally, property damages are resolve before we get to the personal injury, because it's quicker to fix a car than it is to fix a person. Doctors will tell you that at least. So Kimberly hails originally from New York, and she's also a member of the New York Bar, besides being a member of the Virginia Bar. She worked both as a defense attorney and now as a plaintiff's lawyer, and she's worked as a plaintiff's lawyer in the past. And I have a similar background. I was a defense attorney as well before I started representing injured people. So collectively, we bring to you our experience in trying to evaluate cases on both sides. So, Kimberly, let's look at this instruction I just read. And when you're talking to your clients, when they ask you that question, what is your case, what is my case worth, how do you go about analyzing that? And this is a lot of stuff in this jury instruction. So let's just focus on one of them. Let's say any bodily injury sustained and their effect on his health. If you could tell us a little bit from your perspective, what you think is important in evaluating cases, just based on element number one.
The first thing I will say to a client when they call, especially very early on, perhaps the accident happened yesterday or a week ago, is I tell them, you're the client, you're driving the bus. And what that means is, head to toe, what is bothering you? What injuries did you sustain? Did you hit any part of the car? Or if you slipped and fell, where did you fall? How did you fall? What did you hit? And we'll go through head to toe. A lot of times you're not thinking, oh, I have whiplash. Now I have horrific headaches. Headaches, are they stemming from the neck? Are they stemming from the fact that you hit something in the car? We need to, did the airbags deploy? Are you bruised? Did you bleed? Do you have cuts? A lot of times we'll ask clients, take pictures, because cuts heal, bruises heal, swelling goes down. Or as it's going down, black and blue, especially with an airbag eye. So that is what we say is pay attention to your injuries and what you're feeling. A lot of times adrenaline is running at the scene. You're hit, you jump out of the car sometimes, and a day later you say, wow, now I feel like I've been hit by a Mack truck. So a lot of times I say, when you go to the doctor, make sure you are telling the doctor from head to toe what's bothering you. And that includes anything that you have had before that now is aggravated. Most people, by the time you hit the ripe old age of 25, you've had something going on, a neck injury, a back injury, you've pulled your shoulder in high school sports, knee. If you have a condition that is made worse by an accident, pushes you back into treatment, aggravates it, exacerbates it, that's part of your case. We don't shy away. Adjusters love pre-existing injuries. We don't shy away from pre-existing injuries because it's very rare that you are going to be absolute perfect health. We learned on the first week of law school about the eggshell plaintiff. So the person that hits you has to take you as you are. They can't just say, well, you know, you had a bad back before, so I'm out.
Right.
Now, so that is really the injury portion. And I think it was interesting that you read about degree and probable duration. That's when it gets a little bit more convoluted because you're going to need a doctor eventually to say, how long do we anticipate this injury to last? Is it something that you will go back to a baseline, you'll go back to zero, or will you always have an ebb and flow, an intermittent pain? Is this something that is permanent? Are you going to need adjustments every 3 months for the next 10, 15, 20 years? So that's what probable duration is.
Right. And it's interesting you bring up the aggravation of a pre-existing condition because a favorite tactic of the insurance companies, and we both did it when we represented insurers for insurance companies, is to hire a doctor. And the doctor will come in and say something like, oh, you know, you should be better in 6 weeks.
Right.
The average soft tissue resolves itself in 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, something like that. And we see these doctors are frequent flyers. It's always the same doctors that the insurance companies go to because they're looking for predictability. They're going to drop $10,000, $20,000, depending on how much medical treatment there is for the doctor to look at. And if you got a stinger back in high school playing football and you got treatment for it, and they can find that record, they'll say, your arm pain is an aggravation of a pre-existing condition. I mean, that's malarkey. You know, most injuries when you're younger resolve pretty quickly. If it's something like a sport. But with car accidents, it seems like some of these things linger on and on. And this item number one is looking at how quickly the jury is thinking, how quickly did the injury resolve? So if it's something where you're young and in good health, the injury wasn't too bad, physical therapy works, time, which is probably the best thing that helps anybody, it's resolved, then that case is worth less than one where you have a lingering or what the doctors call chronic back pain. So you have chronic back pain that goes on beyond 8 weeks, and of course that makes the value of your case different than the shorter term pain. I haven't even asked you this question before, is there a difference in the way you guys evaluated cases in New York than there was in Virginia? Or is that pretty much the same?
Well, New York does have something where they have with certain cases where you have to have a grave injury. And so Virginia, we have contributory negligence, whereas New York has comparative, which is a little greater for slip and fall cases. But
and that's a subject for another,
time. But damages wise, you can make a motion for summary judgment, meaning ending your case before it gets to a jury or a judge, if your injury isn't grave. And right. So I do think in Virginia, and I think public policy, I think Virginia is more on point. You're hurt, you're hurt.
Right.
I don't think that you should have, well, you don't have this injury. For example, if you break your thumb, that's considered a grave injury. But if you do your pinky, not so much, because you use your thumb more than your pinky. That doesn't mean you didn't have an injury. So it's a little harsh, I think, that is. And I only did defense when I was in New York. I didn't do from the plaintiff's side. So it was more just dealing with the insurance companies with that. But I do believe here they really take a head-to-toe. At least I know we do. We're looking through medical records. Yep. They're taking a head-to-toe interest.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting you bring up about the federal rules and summary judgment. You know, Virginia, no one's ever read the Virginia Constitution that I've come across, except maybe lawyers studying for the bar exam. But the Virginia Constitution says that trial by jury is the preferable way to resolve disputes. So what that means is that a jury most of the time will decide your case. Whereas under New York law, which follows the federal rules of civil procedure, a judge can take the case away from the jury and, you know, find in favor of the defense, which is one reason why in Virginia we try to avoid being removed to federal court, because that's where the summary judgment rule kicks in. But we're getting a little bit off topic here. There's just so much to talk about here. Let's talk about disfigurement and deformity in a case. How do you evaluate a case when you have that element? And give us an idea of what that is.
Dog bite cases. That's Bingo. The first one that comes to mind. Disfigurement, deformity, or slip and falls, where you've had, say, even a gash on your arm. Or I'll even go as far as to say a surgery that has now left scarring.
Right.
So scarring is a big deal. Especially
big deal.
I know it seems that there was always that adage of if you're a guy and you have a scar, it's manly, but and you're a woman,
big scars, yeah.
But bottom line is a lot of people don't want scars.
Absolutely
and
not.
That is one thing I will say to every client, again, with taking pictures, documenting these injuries, obviously a facial scar is a huge deal. And we've had children that are bitten by dogs, and it's usually in the face area, usually yep. in the ears, the lips, the mouth, the nose. That could be, it's devastating.
Absolutely.
And especially with young kids, their skin is so different. Same with elderly. Elderly
right.
will bruise and scar more than a person maybe our age. But anything, you know, you have a scar on your knee, you have a scar on your elbow, you didn't have it there before. So that is something that is part, and that is permanent.
Yep.
A scar is permanent. And depending on the type of scar, if you have a keloid scar, which those are the scars that are more, they're raised
yep.
and they have a little bit of lining in, and sometimes you need to actually get those fixed by a plastic surgeon. That is part of your case.
Yep.
This is all stemming. This is what it means with all of your expenses and your providers and your injuries. So yes, that is a big deal. And that usually is a permanent portion for the jury or a judge to consider.
Right. And that really comes into play for permanency and mm-hmm. disfigurement, which are both elements. You bring up an interesting point about plastic surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I know one of the things that I know our clients are frustrated about is they perceive that their case is taking longer than they think it should. The problem is that you can't do anything with the case until, as you said earlier, you reach baseline, or we know what the injury is. So a scar, for example, those change. You know, the body is designed to try to repair itself. So the cut, like the dog bite, like mm-hmm. you said, on the nose, one of our paralegals, Christina, was bitten by a dog when she was very little, and she still has a very faint scar here, even though it's been decades since that happened. But we need to wait to see how your injuries progress, the natural progression of the disease, as a doctor say. And with a scar, you really need to wait about a year to see
yeah.
what the scar is going to look like. You know, there's different treatments. I know vitamin E is something that's a holistic thing you can do. You talked about the surgery, Z-plasty, you know, where they kind of reshape it. So unfortunately, we can't get some cases resolved quickly enough because we have to wait and see what the baseline is on the disfigurement. Now, we're talking about scarring, which is an obvious one. Can you think of any other disfigurement or deformity that you've addressed in the past?
If you have an injury to, say, a leg, you fall and you break your leg, and the way the bone might not heal 100%. You might have a limp.
Right.
You might need a knee replacement for something. You're not walking the same as you used to. Those are the types of things. We had somebody, maybe not, deformity might be loosely, but you can't lift your arm past a certain
I think that's
point.
Deformity, yeah.
Now all of a sudden you're here, whereas, you know, you're supposed to be here. That's a big deal. So
yeah.
A lot of, I would put that in that category, and that is definitely something I'd want a judge or a jury to be
know about.
Of, yes.
Absolutely. you and I had a case recently where our client was a golfer his whole life, and he had to stop golfing. It was a horrible accident. I mean, if you look at the property damage, the wreck, you didn't even recognize it was a car. And in the process, his hand was broken such that he can't turn it now to even do putt-putt at the golf course. That, I think, is a disfigurement, or a deformity, rather, that, you know, we argued to the jury, and they definitely compensated him for that. Let's talk about medical expenses. That's always a big thing. And kind of give us, you know, why is it that these adjusters tend to focus on medical expenses? Why is it the lawyers focus on the medical expenses in these cases?
Well, it's interesting, and we can delve another day, because this is a topic in and of itself,
right?
Medical expenses, and do we even put them in, or do we just let the juries decide? But medical expenses is, and in Virginia, and again, public policy in Virginia is phenomenal. It does not, the person that causes you harm, the tortfeasor, does not get the benefit of any insurance you may have, health insurance, Medicaid, Medicare, TRICARE. Your medical expenses come in full. Adjusters don't like that. They don't like what the hospitals charge. Right. Unfortunately for them, our clients don't get to sit in the back of an ambulance and say, by the way, what is Bon Secours charge versus HCA? Bottom line is everything goes in, every medical expense, ambulance, your emergency room. And when you go to the emergency room, you have your emergency physician's bill, that's separate.
Yep.
Your radiology bill, that's separate. If you go for a surgery, you're going to have the facility bill, you're gonna have the surgeon's bill, you're going to have the anesthesia bill. So all of these expenses, physical therapy, anytime you go for, say, pain management, all of that comes into play. That is all part of your medical expenses. We even tell clients that if you're buying things out of pocket, Tylenol over the counter, lidocaine patches,
yep,
heating pads, you know, icy hot patches, all of that, we always say, keep a list, keep a receipt. That is a medical expense. This stuff adds up. And that is something that is put into the jury in full.
Yep, in full. Virginia has something called the collateral source rule, which says that just because your medical insurance discounts the bill and pays less than what the doctor charges, that doesn't matter. It's the full amount of the bill, what I call the rack rate. So when you get an explanation of benefits from your insurance company, it's got the rack rate, the amount the doctor charged. Next column is a discounted rate that the insurance company has reached with the provider for the amount that they'll pay. Then you have the copay and deductible, and finally the amount that actually is paid. So it's not unusual to have an MRI bill, for example, of $5,000.
CT scans can be $23,000.
Exactly, and the insurance company only paid $800.
Right, but that doesn't matter. It's not going in at $800.
Yep.
And just quickly, let's just touch on the inconvenience.
Oh yeah,
the non-economics, the inconvenience, the mental anguish, the
good
pain
point.
And suffering.
There's non-economic and economic, and the reason I brought up the economic is adjusters or the insurance companies, rather, as a matter of insurance company policy, want adjuster A and adjuster B to evaluating case one the same way. So what we find is that the adjusters tend to focus on the amount of the medical bills as something because it's more objective. It's more difficult for non-economic damages to come up with a number for scarring or deformity, et cetera. So this seems very important to them, although, you know, we have cases where we don't tell the jury about the amount of the medical expenses for tactical reasons. And there's a case that recently came out of Stafford, where they didn't put any of the medical bills in at all. And that's because the jury is anchoring itself or focusing more on the amount of medical bills and how devastating the injury is. So yes, medical expenses are important, but there's different ways that we deal with those. But Kimberly, back to your point about inconvenience. Yeah, give us your thoughts on any inconvenience caused in the past and any that probably will be caused in the future.
Right, and like you said, Jim, medical expenses and even lost wages, it's very easy to calculate.
Yep.
That's a calculation. But inconvenience is something as is, you're going to 6 weeks for physical therapy three times a week, an hour a day. Got to drive there, you got to leave.
Mileage.
You didn't have this in your life. Now you might need a babysitter, or you might be taking care of an elderly parent, and now you need somebody else to fill in for you. that is an inconvenience. You know, your mental anguish and your pain and suffering are things like, maybe this is the time of year you garden and you're not getting down in the dirt and doing all your flowers the way you used to. And now you have to hire somebody. Somebody's got to mow your lawn. Somebody's got to do your gardening. These are all parts of the non-economic, well, it could become economic, but non-economic too is things you enjoyed that you suddenly can't. Maybe you've canceled a vacation because now you were going somewhere where there's a lot of walking.
Yep.
You've just hurt your hip or your knee or your leg and you're not going.
Especially if you go to Europe or something where you just have to walk everywhere.
Yeah. Or can't sit as long as you did. So now you're in a car and, oh, I love to take Sunday drives and I don't do that now because it really hurts to be sitting in a car for 3 hours when that was something that you would do every weekend. So we evaluate your lifestyle. I ask my clients, give me a day in the life and tell me what's changed. And that includes your sleep. So I will say that I want a 24-hour period of what has changed because of your accident. And you'd be surprised the things you don't think of, even if you cook for your family every night and you're standing on the stove and your back is bothering you or your neck is bothering you. I want to know everything. I want to know everything. You have headaches and you're a bookworm like me and suddenly now you can't read because it hurts and you hurt your eyes.
Can't concentrate.
I want to know all of this. Yeah. This is all part of the value. This is building the value of your case.
Yep. And we're both gym rats. We love working out in the morning before we come to work. And if you hurt your back or some body part, you can't work out anymore.
Right. And then it really depresses people too. If you all of a sudden you're not doing the things that you're normally doing and somebody else caused you that harm, that's a big deal.
Yep.
And so all of these things, so when someone asks me, what's my case worth? I'm like, well, we're going to have to build those blocks together.
Yep.
And trust the process. I know it's not, it's really a marathon. It's not a sprint. You got to build those blocks up and think it through and how it all affects your life.
Exactly. And we frequently get the question about, well, is it worth my time to go through this case? Well, the type of law we do is contingent fee based. So we don't get paid unless we make you money. And so what I tell clients is like, look, don't worry about that. Do what you need to do. As long as we're with you, then we think the case is worth your time. And it's crass, but that's the God's honest truth. We're not going to waste our time or your time on a case that doesn't have any value. But that kind of, my thought on this initial podcast was just kind of get a general overview and then we can delve into those at different times. And I think we've hit most of the big ones. But talk about lost wages a minute as far as people who have paid time off.
Right. And so, you have paid time off, but did you want to use it to go to physical therapy or did you want to go to Bermuda? So I also have an issue with that, too. I mean, if you've lost paid time off, sick time, vacation time, I'm putting that in your demand package.
Yep.
You have lost that time. You might not have lost the actual earning. You've gotten paid. But now you're going to lose money if you want to take that vacation. So to me, that it takes a little bit of maneuvering, but we work with your HR. Or if you're self-employed, you know, let us. Obviously, it might be a little bit different, but we will find out if you've had to take, if you go on short-term disability or long-term disability. That's another whole podcast in and of itself.
Exactly.
So we're working with you and how this affects your life. Or if you no longer can work at the job that you're in anymore, there's lessening of earning capacity, even if you're making more money. But if you love to build boats and now all of a sudden you have to sit behind a desk, that's a lessening of earning capacity. So we take each client individually. It's kind of like we take you as you see it. There's no, this is a skeleton that we put meat on. So each client is different. And some of these might not go for each client. There might not be a disfigurement or deformity. There may not be lost wages. But so we tailor it to what's going on in your life and how did this affect you?
That's a good point on the lost wages and ability of just earning that money. But there's also if the physical injury prevents you from doing a job.
Sure.
And the one that comes to mind for me, since we have military bases around here, is soldiers. You know, when soldiers meet certain criteria, the soldier is promoted. It's not like getting a promotion in private industry, which, you know, a lot of factors come into play. But if a soldier is injured and is under a profile, as they call it, which means they can't do something, then they're not eligible to advance to the next level, which not only is a loss of income, but it's a loss of dignity, I guess, or the inability to be the soldier that you're expected to be rather than someone who's, you know, not doing whatever your MOS is. But that's enough for our initial podcast.
Yes.
And
we'll delve into these further.
We'll delve into these furthers and many other issues. As you can see, this is a pretty thick book. It's got nothing but jury instructions, and that's for the most common types of cases. So we'll have a lot of information for you later. Thanks for joining us, and see you next time.